God wants you to speak faith. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Speak Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us for the Netcast today. We are going to be talking about some things that follow up on our last program. So I trust you've already seen that program. If you haven't, you need to go back to our website, which is, of course, speakfaith.org. I'll get it right. Praise the Lord. Speakfaith.org. That is two words. Speak and faith run together, as you see there on the lower third of the screen. Speakfaith.org. You could go down then the left-hand side of the page as you look at it, and there's a link there for our video netcasts. And you can get caught up on the video netcasts, and I'd encourage you to do that because you don't want to miss the flow of the teaching. We're going to be continuing with our teaching on believing that you receive, but from a little different aspect. We're going to be looking into the, I guess you might call it, the background of believing that you receive. So we'll get into that in just a few minutes. Before we do, though, I want to talk about Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org, Word of Faith Radio. I encourage you, as usual, go out and listen to the main station, the Healing Station, the Music Station, and the KJV Station. You have all four of those radio stations in the network, the Word of Faith Radio Network, that are available to you to receive from the Word of God. And I tell you, they are a blessing. I mean, I've just been getting all kinds of comments from folks and have been ever since the stations went on the air of what a blessing they really are to people. And, you know, they're a blessing to me. I listen to them. I listen to the teaching because I need to receive from the Word of God, and so do you. So praise the Lord. That's great. And then also, of course, speakfaith.tv, our 24-hour TV network of the Internet, okay? Our broadcast medium is the Internet, and so you can go to speakfaith.tv's live stream, which is sftv.io. Okay, so all you got to do is plug that into your browser right there, what you see on the lower third of the screen right now. You plug that into your browser, and you'll be able to catch anytime speakfaith.tv, all the ministries that we have available there. And we just added a new one. Well, sort of new. He's back. Let's put it that way. Bishop Keith Butler is back. And I tell you, I'm excited about that. We just weren't able to get his program on a consistent basis, but now we have a source where we can get that program and get it on Speak Faith, the live channel. Now, he will be on the on-demand side, which is our speakfaith.tv Roku channel. He'll be on the Roku channel very shortly, okay? Not quite there yet, but we're getting close. There's a couple of things I have to do to get that set up. And, of course, I program that, and so I have to write that code in there to make that happen. But we'll be getting it done very shortly. Okay, so just hang in there for that. And stay tuned to everything we're doing here at Word of Faith Ministries Incorporated. This ministry is for you to receive from the Word of God. I've said it before, always talk about it. Seems like, but it is the vision that the Lord gave me for this ministry. He spoke to me in August of 1980. And I want you to think about that. We're coming up on August in a few months of 2020. Wow, it all runs together. 1980 to 2020 is going to be 40 years. So 40 years ago almost, God spoke to me and said, proclaim the word of faith, be a showcase of ministries, and train people to fulfill the word of God. And the showcasing of ministries, I tell you, the Roku channel and the speakfaith.tv live channel are direct fulfillment of that part of the vision of showcasing ministries. It's not just my ministry. Now, I'm on both the Roku channel and the live channel as well. And this program is part of that rotation of programs that are on the live channel. So praise the Lord for that. But that's a tiny, tiny, tiny percent of the tremendous amount of teaching that's going forth from all kinds of different ministries. Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Larry Hutton, Bob Yandian, Mac Hammond, Billy Brim, on and on and on. And of course, Keith Butler we just mentioned. I'm telling you, we've got folks out there preaching the uncompromising word of faith. And I tell you what, I am so excited to be part of it, just to be able to share it out from our studios here at the ministry and our rack of servers that I mentioned last time. I'm telling you, it's just exciting to be able to share that out to the world. And I mean to the world. We've got statistics coming in from our servers that show that people all over the world. I recently had a gentleman from Pakistan that sent me a note on Facebook that says, "We love SpeakFaith.tv in Pakistan." Think about that. Pakistan. Hallelujah. I tell you, we're reaching people all around the world. And that's the power of broadcasting over the internet. It is exciting. Praise God. So, let's get into the Word today. We're going to pick up with some teaching that we kind of hit parts of it, but we want to talk about confessing the Word of God. Now, I know some of you said, "Oh, Dr. Bill, you talk about that all the time." Well, again, staying on message. Staying on message, proclaiming the Word of faith. That's what it's all about. Mark 11:22, Jesus, and I'm reading out of the New King James, by the way. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, as I've said before, in the Greek, it actually says, "Have God's kind of faith." Or you might want to say it this way. Here's how you use God's faith. Now, think about that. Jesus is telling them here, you can use God's faith. Wow. That's exciting in and of itself. You can use the faith of God. Well, how do you do that, Jesus? He says in verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain." Now, we could substitute whatever your issue might be. Maybe you're believing for your healing, so you speak to sickness and disease. Maybe you are experiencing financial lack, and so you speak to your financial issue. Whatever your problem is, it's not always a physical mountain. Matter of fact, it probably is rarely a physical mountain, okay? But he's using this as an example of something that you speak to. And notice you speak to it, to the problem. You don't speak about it. You don't speak to other people about it. You speak to the problem. And notice what he says to the problem. "Be removed and be cast into the sea." He's talking to a problem, an issue, whatever it is. Sickness and disease, I'm talking to you. Be cast into the sea. That sounds a little funny, doesn't it? I mean, to most people, they're going to look at that and go, "What are you doing?" But let's keep reading what Jesus said. "And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done." Now think about that. He's telling something inanimate to be cast into the sea. He's talking to that thing. That's odd in and of itself, isn't it? And then he's saying, if you believe what you're saying will be done, you'll have it. What, Jesus? Are you serious? Yes, he's serious. Now, the Greek here has even more revelation in it, because the Greek here says, believes that the things that you are saying are coming to pass. Now, the tense of that is interesting, because what he's really saying is, what I'm saying is in the present tense process of becoming. Think about that. Believe that the things that you're saying are coming to pass. So in other words, what you've got to believe is the words that you speak out of your mouth, as James chapter 3 says, set in motion the cycle of natural events. Let's go over to James, since I brought it up. James chapter 3, verse 6, talking about your tongue, talking about using words. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. Now, that sounds a little odd to us, but let's take that out of the New King James and let's look at it in the Greek. It says, your words out of your mouth set in motion the cycle of natural events. Okay? That makes it just a little clearer. What you're saying out of your mouth is setting in motion a cycle of natural events in your life. And unfortunately, that tongue can be set on fire by hell, as it says in the latter part of that verse. So what you've got to do is get a hold of your tongue. Don't let Satan use it to inject negative things into your life. See, that's what happens with most people, because they're not aware that their tongue is that important, that their words are that important. They're allowing Satan to use their own words against them. Now stop and think about that. A lot of people look at Satan as like some great, powerful being that's just like got them like a puppet on a string and is just making them do all kinds of things. But you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. The devil, I'm going to say something here, it's going to rattle your cage, you know, in terms of your religious thinking, okay? The devil doesn't have any power over you. It's the truth. He only has the ability to deceive. Even if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when he spoke to Eve, what did he do? Did he just jerk her up by the scrap of her neck and make her do something? No. He deceived her with his words. He used his words to deceive her into doing something that she should not have done. And really, more specifically, that Adam shouldn't have done. Adam had authority. And all he needed to do, Adam, all he needed to do was turn to the devil and say, devil, get out of here. He said, you know, if he'd have done it, he could have said to the devil, by the authority God has given me as a man on this earth, you get out of here. And he'd had to have done it. Because Adam had dominion in the earth at that time. But unfortunately, Adam ceded his authority over to the devil, and the devil began to use that authority to become the little G-O-D, God of this world. Now, he is not a god. He's not even in the position he was in after Adam's transgression, because Jesus has spoiled his power. That term spoiled, we don't understand it as well as they did back in, you know, biblical times. Spoiled means a conqueror would conquer a kingdom. Then they would spoil that kingdom. They would take trophies of war and take the... getting a phone call in the middle of doing a program. So let me stop the phone. Had to stop the phone. Because they were calling me in the middle of me doing a program. But the thing is, I was talking about spoiling. Spoils of war were the trophies they took when they, took over another kingdom or another land. And very often they would take the king of that country and they would drag him through the streets. And they would show him as being ruined. And that would be spoiling the enemy. Well, Jesus spoiled principalities and powers of the devil, okay? So now the devil doesn't have anywhere near the authority that he once did, because Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. So what's the big deal about the devil now? Well, now he gets you to use your words your authority in the earth to set in motion a cycle of nature, set in motion a cycle of natural events in your life with your words. So you'll find yourself saying things like, I feel so tired, I feel so weak, I feel so sick. And see, you start saying those things, and the things that you are saying are coming to pass. And so you look around in your life, and you find that the things you're saying are coming to pass. It's no wonder. So what you've got to do is get a hold of the things you're saying and start changing your cycle of natural events. Now let's go back where we were reading there in Mark 11. And let's pick back up in, let's pick back up in verse 23. Whoever says to the mountain, the issue, the problem, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that you are saying are coming to pass, he will have whatever he says. You'll have whatever you want, no. You'll have whatever you say. You'll have whatever you dream, no. You have whatever you say. What you're saying is what's coming to pass. Not what you're hoping for and you're pining for it. You're praying, oh, Lord, please. That's not what's coming to pass in your life. It's what you're saying continually. Not just in your prayer closet. Not just at church. Not just when you're talking to your pastor. Now, it's good to say it in church. It's good to say it in your prayer closet. It's good to say it when you're talking to your pastor. But it's all the time that your words are coming to pass. So now, that puts it in a different light. That puts it in a different aspect. What do I mean by that? Well, if you know... Now, I'm going to say something here. It's going to sound really odd. Okay? And some of you said, everything you're saying is really odd. Well, now, hold on. I'm going to use an example. Let's say you're in one of those fantasy movies. Okay? Your life has now become one of those fantasy movies that you watch on TV. And a genie appears to you. This is just an example. Don't go getting weird on me. A genie appears to you and says, from this moment on, whatever you say out of your mouth will happen in your life instantly. And you go, woo, that thrills me to death. Boom. You see what I'm saying? Your words came to pass instantly. Well, praise God. I'm thankful it doesn't happen quite that way, that it's an instant thing, but it does set in motion the cycle of natural events. So if you're going around saying, whoo, that just scares me to death, prepare for your life to have in set in motion a cycle of natural events that causes fear to cause stress in your body, which releases stress hormones, which will eventually kill you. May take years, but it will come to pass. The cycle of natural events is set in motion. Now, I know some of you say, well, now, Dr. Bill, I mean, that could take years and years. Yeah, and you've been saying junk for years and years. That's just one example. Let's use another example. Let's say that you're fretting over the fact you can't pay your car payment. Let's use that as an example. You know, and you just, no matter what, you just aren't going to have enough money to make that car payment. So you worry over it, you fret over it, and you tell everybody, your buddy, your friend at work, your wife, anybody that'll listen, you say, I can't make my car payment. I don't know what I'm going to do. They're going to take that car. Oh, man, and then I won't be able to drive to work. If I can't drive to work, I can't make any money. If I can't make any money, I can't even pay my rent then, much less the car payment. And you go on and on and on talking about what's going to happen to you because you can't make your car payment. And then 6 months later, you look back and you say, look, I couldn't make the car payment. They did come and repossess the car. I didn't have anything to drive. I lost my job. Can't make the house payment. Lost my house. And you kind of halfway proud. You prophesied it. See, I told you. I told you that's what would happen. You set in motion a cycle of natural events. So now, what should you do? You should be a tither. Because the blessing of the tither will help you prevent that from occurring. So you're a tither. Then you ought to be a giver. See, giving is beyond the tithe. I give a tenth of my income, and I'm a tither. Okay? One tenth of my income goes to God. That's my tithe. I'm not giving until I give over that amount. Now, I know some of you said, oh, man, I don't give anywhere near a tenth of my income. Well, there you go. You're not a tither. So I am a tither. Then I give beyond the tithe, so now I'm a giver. And a giver's blessing is that I'll give and it'll be given back to me. Woo, hallelujah. Press down, shake it together, and run it over. It'll be given back to me. Luke 6:38. So now I've got scripture to stand on. I've got the fact that I'm a tither to stand on. I've got the fact that I'm a giver to stand on. So now I can come and I can say, lack, you don't have any control over me. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. My car payment is paid in Jesus' name. Yeah, but Dr. Bill, your car payment's not paid. Well, I'm saying my car payment will be paid in Jesus' name. Because I'm a tither and I'm a giver. And I'm standing on the scripture. I'm standing on Malachi chapter 3. I'm standing on Luke 6:38. I'm standing on Philippians 4:19. I got all these scriptures lined up and I'm confessing them. I'm confessing my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then the car payment, somehow or another, the course of natural events gets set in motion and I get the money out of nowhere, seems like. I didn't plan for it to come that way, but it came that way, and I take that money, and I pay that car payment. Now, I've set in motion a cycle of natural events by my words, by applying pressure to the Word of God. Now, here's the thing. You can apply pressure to the Word of God, and it will work for you. Okay? It'll hold up. You don't have to worry that you're applying too much pressure to God's word. Now, you're not applying pressure on God. Don't go off half-cocked on some weird idea that God's like a vending machine. You're just dropping a nickel in, and he's just going to perform. No, what you're doing is you are acting according to what the word of God says. You're doing what he said to do. He gave you instructions. Jesus gave them instructions here. He said to them, have God's kind of faith. Use God's kind of faith. And oh, by the way, here's how it works. And then he gave them instruction on how it works. So he expects you to do it. Follow the instructions. Follow the instructions and do what he said do. If you'll do that, you'll see the cycle of natural events in your life. Now, it doesn't happen instantly and automatically. That's where we cross the line from the fantasy story with the genie to the truth, the reality of God's word. This is something you build into your life. This is something you exercise every day, day in, day out. And it sets in motion a cycle of natural events. And I'll tell you what some people will say about you. They'll say, you know, that guy just leads a charmed life. Things just work out for him. Now, I don't live a charmed life. And yes, things do work out for me because I'm applying the principles of the Word of God on purpose. Like a carpenter uses a hammer or a saw, he uses his tools. These are tools that you have to affect change in your life, if you'll use them. But you got to do it. You got to be a whoever that says. Remember, the scripture in verse 23 of Mark 11 said, whoever says. If you're not a whoever that says, or to put it in King James term, a whosoever that says, it ain't going to work for you because you're not saying. You've got to speak the word of God, and it will come to pass. But you got to do it consistently. And you got to be believing that what you're saying is coming to pass. Now, what you're saying is coming to pass, whether you like it or not. That's a spiritual principle. So you might as well get a hold of that and at least just change and not say the negative things that you don't want to happen and then wonder is why that always comes to pass. No, say the things you want to happen based on the Word of God, and you'll be amazed that over time, you'll start getting that reputation. Well, things just always work out for him. He's just always blessed in whatever he does. Yeah, you're right. But it's not just happenstance. It's not just the luck of the draw. There's no such thing as luck. You know, back in the day, we used to say luck is the first part of the word Lucifer. Luck comes from the devil, and it's always bad. Well, I don't believe in luck. I believe in blessing. I believe in living in the blessing. I believe in operating in the things of God the way the Word of God says to. And if you do that, then you'll be blessed. And then people will look at you and go, I don't know what it is, but it just always works out for Brother Bill. You're right. It does. You know, whether it's being raised off my deathbed, or having my needs met, or needing a server for the ministry, and the money just comes in. How does that happen? Confession of the word. Believing that my needs are met. Believing that I'm called to this ministry, and God's given me a mission, and so therefore he backs it. Amen. It's the truth. Well, I'll tell you what, we're out of time. We're going to have to go. Join me again next time. In the meantime, you can write me here at my email address, drbill@speakfaith.org, as it says there on the screen. And then you can also write me at my mailing address, which is Word of Faith Ministries, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. I'm glad you joined me for the program today. Join me again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Speak Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.